Tonight is going to be a very serious night of revelation time. Make sure you got your holy tablets, your NGO, ink, pen, and paper. Let me start by saying that all of you are gods. This is something that you know, hypothetically, but tonight we're going to prove it. It might take me a couple of classes to take you where I want to get you, but we're going to start opening up the sky. We're going to make the very earth itself move. It's reality check, gut check time, right? Finally, in the last day, he, Melchizedek, shall incarnate to seal up the lies and reveal all the facts. That's happening right now. Take you all to chapter 8, tablet 11. I want to reveal a parable to you. Chapter 8, tablet 11. All right, everybody should be there now. Now, this parable is I want you all, and especially the ones of you that have been to Georgia, to Eatonton, to Tamaree, I want you all to tell me where this place is. Then you can see the plan of the Most High. Surely they plan, and the Most High plans, that he's the best of planners, right? We're going to also get into why it is that Melchizedek was taken out of our presence.
Briefly.
Okay? In chapter 11. Remind me. All right, chapter 8, tablet 11. The parables which Melchizedek spoke with me before Melchizedek was myself, Malachi. What he's speaking about is before he had his initiation, when he met him on the street, as a spirit being outside of himself, and he was overwhelmed by his presence, and I know about that too. I was in that room, etc. But, okay, lo, Melchizedek said to Malachi, right? Melchizedek said to Malachi, they're separate beings again. You know that you, as the servant of Elionel, are in a strange country. For your city is far away from this city, and your world is far away from this world. Now, what he's speaking about is how he was speaking to him when he met him in Brooklyn, right? This is how Melchizedek spoke to Malachi when he met him in Brooklyn. Again, lo, Melchizedek said to Malachi, Malachi, you know that you, as the servant of Elionel, are in a strange country. For your city is far away from this city, and your world is far away from this world. For your city in Risk is called Saloon. There you are king. But your city in Tiamat, you must establish Saloon, and there you will be their servant. And then you know your city in which you are going to dwell. Why do you prepare lands here, and costly establishments and buildings and vain dwellings? He therefore who prepares these things for this city is not able to return to his own city. O foolish and double-hearted and wretched man, do you not understand that all these things are foreign to you and are under the power of another? For the Adonai of this city will say, I do not wish for you to dwell in my city. Why? Because you do not use my law. If then you have fields and dwellings and many other possessions, when you are cast out by him, what will you do with your land and house and all the other things which you have prepared for yourself? For the Adonai of this country justly says to you, either abide and use my law or go from my country. What then are you going to do, seeing that you have a law in your own city? Will you, because of your fields and other possessions, altogether deny your law and walk in the law of this city? Take heed that it is not unprofitable for you to deny your law. For if you were to return back to your city, you will not be received, because you have denied the law of your city, and you will not be received, because you will be excluded from it. Take heed then make no further preparations for yourself beyond a sufficient confidence for yourself, as though you were living in a foreign country. Be ready in order that whenever the master of this city wishes to expel you for resisting his law, you may go out from his city and depart to your own law, suffering no harm. Take heed then, you who serve the Yahuwah of the Luhum, and keep Yahuwah the Luhum in your heart. Do the deeds of Elionel, and remember his commands and promises which Yahuwah the Luhum made, and had faith in him that Elionel will perform his commandments if they are observed. Therefore, instead of lands, purchase afflicted souls as each is able, and look after widows and orphans, and do not despise them, and spend your wealth and all your establishments on such fields and houses as you have received from the Most High. For this reason did the Master make you rich, that you should fulfill these ministries for him. It is better to purchase such lands and house as you will find your own city when you go to it. This wealth is beautiful and joyful, and it is neither grief nor fear, but as joy. Follow therefore not after the wealth of the heathen, for it is unprofitable to you, who are the servants of Elionel. Follow your own wealth, in which you can rejoice, and do not counterfeit nor touch that which is another's. nor desire it. Remember, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, right? Nor desire it, for it is wicked to desire that which is another's. But do your own work, and you shall be saved. Find your way to your land with Malachi. Find your way to that most holy place, Kadesh, Wahani. For there I will meet you. Father, what I'm doing clear to you?
Yeah, it's clear to me so far. I understand everything.
Oh, is it clear to all the rest of you all?
Yeah.
Now, the reason I say that, just a second, because I want to share a parable with you all.
Brother Ackman, right?
Oh, yes, I am Brother Ackman.
But I no longer use that name.
But see, that's not the point, is it? The only reason that's important to you is because I'm evidence, just like Malachi is, and the 24 elders are.
That we, all of us, keep coming back. The source is immortal.
We keep coming back. You, all of us, we keep coming back. Are you following me? Because they call certain people by name, you got to understand. This book is not big enough to put everybody's name in it. Are you following me?
Got it.
But he's just making examples of certain people so that you can be confident in the fact that there is no death for you and that you are God's and that you are eternal. And we're going to get deeper into that, right? Now, I'd like you all to go to tablet 13 of chapter 8. Tablet 13. It's called the trees, right? This is a parable. I want you to understand what's happening right now. Lo, Melchizedek showed I, Malachi, many trees without leaves. They appeared to me to be as if they were dry, for they were all alike. And Melchizedek said to I, Malachi, do you see these trees? Yes, I said, and I see that they are all alike and dry. And he answered me and said, these trees which you see are they who dwell in this world. Why then, I said, are they all alike and dry? Listen. And he answered me and said, in this world, neither righteous nor sinners are apparent, but are all alike. Now that day, we're getting ready, that's just changing right now. Because for this world is winter for the righteous, and they are not apparent, though they are living with sinners. For just as in the winter, the trees which have shed their leaves are alike, and it is not apparent, which are dry and which are alive. So in this world, neither the righteous nor the sinners are apparent, but are all alike. You know, if you walk down the street with your child in the wintertime and they say, Daddy, Mom, what kind of tree is that? Well, there's no leaves on it, but when that spring comes out, that spiritual thought comes and you can see every tree by the fruit it bears. We were in the winter of our spiritual life, but today, certainly thou will see evilness of it, but today we're removing your veil so your sight is sharp. You're going to be able to make a dissertation to see the evil from the good and all that's going to come out, you see. And the negative ones will be those that buck at this information, right? So in this world, neither the righteous nor the sinners are apparent, but all are alike. Now, Melchizedek showed me again many trees, some budding and some withered. And he said to me, he said, do you see these trees? I see them, I said, some budding and some withered. These trees, he said, which are budding, are the righteous, who are destined to live in the world to come. For the world to come is summer for the righteous, but winter for the sinners. Therefore, when the mercy of Elion Elion El shall shine, then the servants of Elion Elion El shall be made plain, and all Adamites shall be made apparent. For just as in the summer, the fruit of each individual tree is made plain, and they are recognized what they are, so also the fruit of the righteous will be plain, and they will all be known by blossoming in that world. But the heathen and the sinners and the withered trees, which you saw, will be found to be such, dried and fruitless in that world. They shall be burnt up like wood, and they shall be made manifest. Now, don't think they're slick and hidden, don't they? And they shall be made manifest, because their conduct was wicked in their lives. You know, they hindered and blocked and hurt. For the sinners shall be burnt, because they sinned, and they did not repent. And the heathen shall be burnt, because they did not know their Creator. Be therefore fruitful, that your fruit may be known in that summer, but abstain from much business, and you will do no sin. For those who do much business, and serving Elion Elion El, are nothing. How then, he said, can such a one pray for anything from Elion Elion El, and receive it, when he does not serve Elion Elion El? So bless you all that serve him, and you know yourselves. They who serve him, they shall receive their request. But they who do not serve him, they shall receive nothing. But if anyone be occupied with one business, he can serve Elionel also. For his overstanding is not corrupted away from Elionel, but he will serve him with a pure mind. In other words, you don't mind you having one business, but don't get all... If therefore you do this, you can bear fruit for the world to come. And whoever does this, they shall bear fruit. Now, does anybody have any questions about what they heard so far? Did you all overstand the parable of the trees?
Yes, I did.
You all understood the parable?
Yeah, I picked it up. So you can continue doing your business, but always keep in mind exactly...
You can do one business. You could just like you got your incense business, you could focus on that. But if you were to do like three or four different businesses, you would be so distracted you couldn't focus on Elionel or making that inner journey of perfecting your being. Are you following me? That's all.
Exactly.
Now, did everybody... Now, when I was reading that first chapter 8, tablet 11... Where was that city at that they was talking about where Malachi had built up these lands and buildings and had all these possessions and all that, and then they didn't like the law. They say he broke their law and they threw him out. Now, where was that at?
Edenton, Georgia.
Uh-huh, that was in Edenton, Georgia. Who said that? Somebody said that is woke. Somebody said that is smart. Somebody is woke.
That's Brother Freeman, Brother Amon.
That's where it was, Brother Freeman. That was Camaray.
Right.
Now, y'all see that now? But did everybody see it when I was reading it at first? Okay. So I want to know, are we getting some, are you all starting to wake up tonight, yes or no?
Yes.
Do you all have any questions before I go on?
I got a question.
I'll do my best.
Call me Amun, please.
Just kind of off the bell, what do you think about those birds that's falling out of the sky?
What I think about those birds is the same thing I think about those fish that are coming up everywhere. That's a sign that in the times, I think it's just like those bees that keep dropping out the sky. They say over a third of the bees, the honeybees, have dropped out of the sky. And the reason for that, we find, is because there's so much interference as far as cell phones, for example. They got so many cross frequencies because honeybees use a sonar, and they use a kind of like, and they also fly with a gyro like a helicopter, and they use these different frequencies and ley lines for their directions to and from the hive and back and forth from the food sources to the hive. They use their directionals like a dog that you drop off 3,000 miles away from home will find its way back home. They use the directional, so the frequencies are so heavy, the waves are so heavy in the sky that the signals are getting scrambled, and they just stand in the air and hover confused until they run out of energy and just drop dead. That's what's happening to them. That's just an example. It's just... We're in the end days. For whatever the reason is, it's happening because we're in the end days. It's just another sign. Are you following me?
Right.
All right. Now, look, I'm going to go on to the next. Y'all ready for the next revelation, right?
Yeah.
All right. Make sure you got your holy tablets, your NGO, ink, pen, and paper. But we're going to start opening up the sky. We're going to make the very earth itself move.
Coming from your past through your future.
Okay. I want you all to understand that you keep coming back, that there's no death for you. There is no death for you. You just keep coming back over and over again. Is that clear to everybody? Now, what I want you to start right now with the birth of Melchizedek. So go to chapter 6 of the Holy Tablets. The birth of Melchizedek. That'll be Holy Tablets, chapter 6, tablet 4, verse 89. That's the first place we're going to start. We're going to prove that Melchizedek keeps coming back. Over and over again.
The master teacher asked me to let the world know who he really is.
The birth of Melchizedek, 89. And Methuselah said to the people, here is near, also Nunam near, the vessel by which he was to be born on earth, being without earthly mother or father. He will be in front of your face from the present day as the guide of the princes of the earth, the children of the Elohim, whom the chosen people of Israel shall worship. And the people answered Methuselah, let it be so for us. And the word of Elion, who is Anu, the Most High, be just as he said to you. And then later on, we're going to prove that Malachi was sent by Elion, every time, and so was this brother Achmed. While Methuselah was speaking to the people, his spirit was convulsed, and kneeling on his knees, he stretched out his hands to heaven, praying to Elion, who is Anu, the Almighty Creator. So the 24 elders back as well.
And possibly...
Moses and Joshua. I know it sounds strange, but just bear with me.
What if...
As he was praying, his spirit went out. Near and all the people heard and constructed a sepulchre for Methuselah. And they placed around him incense and reeds and many holy things. Near came with many praises, and the people lifted up Methuselah's body, glorifying Anu. They performed the service for him at the sepulchre which they had made for him, and they covered him over. The people said, "How blessed is Methuselah in front of the face of the Elohim and in front of the face of all the people." From there they assembled, and they said to the people, "Hurry up today. Bring sheep and bulls, turtle doves, pigeons and ostrich, so that we may make a feast of the sacrifice in front of the face of Elion, Elion El Huzanu, the Almighty Creator, and rejoice today. And then go away to your houses." 100. The people gave heed to Nir, the Zodok priest, and they hurried, and they brought their sheep, bulls, turtle doves, pigeons, and ostrich, and they tied them up at the head of the altar. Nir took the knife of sacrifice, and he slaughtered them in front of the face of Elion, Elion El, Huzanu, the Almighty Creator. And he did have them prepared as a feast for those who were without fortune. The people were well, and they made merry in front of the face of Elohim all that day. They glorified Anu of Elohim, the Savior of Nir, in front of the face of the people, and from that day there was peace and order all over the earth, in the days of Nir, 202 years. Then the people turned away from Elion, Elion, who was Anu, the Almighty Creator, and they began to be envious, one against another. And the people went to war against the people, and race rose up against race. And they struggled and insulted one another. They created names for those idols they worshipped, names such as Yahweh, Adonai, Baal, Dagon. And they took these names and supplanted them over their idols of ignorance. Even if the lips were the same, nevertheless, the heart chose different things. For the Luciferians, that is the Nakashites, became rulers for the third time. See, they come back too for the third time. And Helal, their ruler, calling the cash Anu's Elohim. The first was before paradise. The second time was in paradise. The third time was after paradise. And continuing right up to the flood and on after. So you see, we're not the only ones to keep coming back. So do the Luciferians, right? Because you can't destroy energy, right? And that's what we are, spiritual beings, or energy beings. There arose disputation and great turbulence. In other words, the Most High merely shares and we become. And I'll get into that much later. Nir, the Zodok priest, heard and was greatly aggrieved. He said in his heart, "In truth, I have come to understand how the time has arrived, and the saying which Elion, Elion, El Huzanu, the Almighty Creator, said to Methuselah, the father of my father, Lamech." Tonight, I want to focus on Melchizedek's return and the 24 elders' return. "Behold, the wife of Nir, whose name is Supanim, is barren, and she has never given birth to a child by Nir at any time. Supanim was the time of her old age, and on the day of her death, she conceived in her womb. But Nir the Zodok priest had not slept with her, nor had he touched her, from the day that Elion, Elion, El Huzanu, the Almighty Creator, had appointed him to conduct the liturgy in front of the face of the people. When Supanim saw her pregnancy, she was ashamed and embarrassed, and she hid herself during all the days until she gave birth. Not one of the people knew about it. When 282 days had been completed, and the birth had begun to approach, and Nir remembered his wife, and he called her to himself in his house, so that he might converse with her. Supanim came to Nir, her husband. Behold, she was pregnant, and the day was appointed for giving birth was drawing near. Nir saw her, and he became ashamed, and he said to her, 'What is this that you have done, O wife? Why have you disgraced me in front of the face of the people? Now depart from me, and go where you began the disgrace of your womb, so that I might not defile my hands on account of you, and sin in front of the face of Elion, Elion, El, who is Anu, the Almighty Creator.'" Supanim spoke to Nir, her husband, saying, "O my Adonai, behold, it is the time of my old age, and the day of my death has arrived. And I do not understand how my menopause and the barrenness of my womb have been reversed. And you remember the same circumstances with the wife of Abraham, Sarah." Nir did not have faith in his wife, and for the second time he said to her, "Depart from me, or else I might assault you and commit a sin in front of the face of Elion, Elion, El, who is Anu, the Almighty Creator." It came to pass, when Nir had spoken to his wife in this manner, saying Supanim, that Supanim fell dead at Nir's feet and died, for the thought of this trust lay too heavy upon her heart. Nir was extremely distressed, and he said in his heart, "Could this have happened because of my word, since by word and thought a person can sin in front of the face of Elion, Elion, El Huzanu, the Almighty Creator? Now, may Anu, the Merciful, have mercy upon me. I know in truth in my heart that my hand was not upon her. So I said, 'Glory to you, Elion, Elion, El Huzanu, the Almighty Creator,' because no one amongst the human knows about this deed that Elion, Elion, El Huzanu, the Almighty Creator, has done." Nir hurried, and he shut the door of his house, and went to Utnapishtim, that's Noah, Satan in connection with his wife, and who befished him, or Noah, hurried. He came with Noah, his brother, and he came into Noah's house because of the death of Sephonim, and they were discussing between themselves how a womb was at the time of giving birth. When the victim said to Noah, "Don't let yourself be sorrowful, Noah, my brother, for Elion, Elion, El, was Anu, the Almighty Creator, the day has covered up our scandal, and that nobody from the people knows this. Now, let us go quickly, and let us bury her secretly, and Elion, Elion, El, was Anu, the Almighty Creator, will cover up the scandal of our shame, for he alone knows that there is a divine in her womb. Let us go quickly, and let us bury her secretly, and Elion, Elion, El, who's Anu, the Almighty Creator, will cover up the scandal of our shame, for he alone knows that there is a divine in our womb, and he shall be an incarnation of Michael himself."
Follow closely.
They placed Sephonim on the bed, and they wrapped her around with black garments and shut her in the house so she was prepared for burial. So we should find out what the incarnation of the carnal means into a physical body again, that the spirit of Michael himself is going to be reborn or incarnation of Michael himself, right? They placed Sephonim on the bed, and they wrapped her around with black garments and shut her up in the house so she was prepared for burial. They dug the grave in secret. A child came out of the dead Sephonim, and he sat on the bed at her side. With the fisherman near came in to bury Sephonim, and they saw the child sitting by the dead Sephonim and wiping his person. With the fisherman near were very terrified with a great fear, because the child was fully developed physically like a three-year-old. He spoke with his lips, and he blessed Elion, Elion, El, who was Anu, the Almighty Creator, saying, "Forgive them, for they know not what they have done." Uden Fisimanir looked at him, and behold, the badge of priesthood was on his chest, and it was glorious in appearance. Uden Fisimanir, behold, Anu is renewing the priesthood from the blood related to us just as he pleases. Uden Fisimanir hurried, and they washed the child, and they dressed him in the garments of priesthood, and they gave him the holy bread, and he ate it. They called his name Melchizedek. Uther Fistamanir lifted up the body of Supam and divested her of her black garments, and he washed her, and they clothed her in exceptionally white garments, and he built a shrine for her.
Yes, the master teaches the incarnation of Michael, and after being raised to the 25th seat, he's even further elevated now.
Uther Fistamanir and Melchizedek came, and they buried her publicly. And Uther Fistamanir said to his brother Nir, "Look after this child in secret until the time, because people will become treacherous in all the earth, and they will begin to turn away from Anu. And having become totally ignorant, they will put him to death." Then the fisherman went away to his own place. Great lawlessness began to become abundant all over the planet earth in the days of Nir. Nir began to worry excessively, especially about the child, saying, "How miserable is it for me, Al-Olam, the everlasting, that in my days the lawlessness had begun to become abundant over the earth. I realize how much nearer our end is, over the earth, on the account of all the lawlessness of the people. Now, Elroy, the vision giver, symbol of the eye, what is the vision about this child? And what is his destiny? And what will I do for him? And remember, it's not the vision of the eyes, plural, it's singular eye, as in the third eye, of that your eye becoming single again, right? Yah Samaya, the hearer heeded near, and appeared to him in a vision and the shadow hour. He said to him, "Near, the great lawlessness which has come on the earth among the multitude, I shall not tolerate. Behold, I desire now to send out a great destruction on the earth, and everything that stands on the earth shall perish. But concerning the child, don't be anxious, Near, because in a short while I shall send through him, the archangel Michael." So he's going to send through him the child Melchizedek. Is different. And he's a vessel, an earthen vessel, but the spirit of Michael has a heavenly seat, and the Most High can inspire his spirit to be downloaded, so to speak, into a physical body. Some, he has different physical forms at different times, but the being inside of him is always the same. Are you following me? Because in a short, this is in chapter 6 of the Holy Tablets, tablet 4, verse 159. "Because in a short while I shall send through him the archangel Michael, and he will take the child and put him in the paradise of Eden, in the paradise where Cabin was formerly for 7 years, having the heavens open all the time up until when he became disagreeable. The child will not perish along with those who are perishing in this generation, as I have revealed it. So that Melchizedek will be the priest to all the holy priests of the ancient and mystic order of Melchizedek, simply called AMOM, the vibration of all creation. And I will establish him so that he will be the head of the priests of the future. So now the implication is here is that Melchizedek is going to come back again in the future. That's the one that you know now as Malachi Zodok. Neil rose from his sleep and blessed Elionel, who was Anu, the Almighty Creator, who made appear to him his host, saying, Blessed be Anu of the Elohim of my fathers, who has told me how he has made a great priest in my day and the womb of my wife, because I had no child in this tribe who might become the great priest. But this is my son and your servant, and you are Anu, the great one. Therefore honor him together with your servants and great priests, and with Seth and Enos and Rusi and Anilam and Parasidam and Maliliel and Saruk and Arosan and Ilam and Adop and Methuselam and myself, your servant near. Behold, Melchizedek will be the head of the 24 elders who existed before. So evidently, the 24 elders are always with him, and he's gathered them again. I know a lot of the brothers that's 24 elders, and I think you all know them too, but they are gathered again. Behold, Melchizedek will be the head of the 24 elders who existed before. Afterward, in the last generation, that's now, there will be another Melchizedek, that's Malachi, the first of the 12 elders, and there will be 12 elders with him, right? And the last will be head of all, a great archpriest, the word and power of Anu, who will perform miracles greater and more glorious than all the previous ones. Now let's do this again. 168. Afterward, in the last generation, there will be another Melchizedek. He's the first of the 12 elders. And the last will be head of all. So it won't be Melchizedek. We're speaking about Yahshua, HaMashiach, right? Yahshua. And the last will be head of all, a great archpriest, the word and power of Anu, who will perform miracles greater and more glorious than all the previous ones. But now you're going to find out later that from when we take you back to the Injil, that Yahshua returned in the year 2007. And one of the signs that I want you all to reflect on is when the sisters went to Colorado to visit the master teacher in that year, that one of the miracles he performed is that the first miracle Yahshua performed when his time for Messiahship came was, if you all remember, was to turn the water into wine. And that was the year that the master teacher turned the glass of water, into wine. Okay? I want you all to think. Okay, and the last will be head of all, a great archpriest, the word and power of Anu, who will perform miracles greater and more glorious than all the previous ones. He, Melchizedek, will be priest and king in a place, Akusan, also called Agarba and Shambhala, that is to say, in the center of the earth where Kappa's birth plan was created. And there will be his final grave. In connection with the archpriest, it is written how he also will be buried there, where the center of the earth is. Just as Cain, who buried his own son, Habel, also called Abel there, whom his brother Quain also called Cain, murdered. For he laid for 3 days unburied until he saw a bird called the jackdaw, which is a Eurasian crow, and he imitated that same method of how it buried its own young. I know that great confusion has come, and in confusion this generation will come to an end. For everyone will perish except Thutmose, my brother. He will be preserved. You know, Noah was preserved. Afterward, there will be a planting from his tribe, the Shemites, the Hamites, and the Japhethites. And there will be another people who fathered the Hebrews, who became the Ishmaelites, Medinites, the Israelites. And there will be another Melchizedek, Malachi Zodok Yorkdel. That's the one that you all know now in the last days. The head of priests, reigning over the people and performing the liturgy. A ritual for Elion-El, who was Anu, the Almighty Creator. When the child has been 40 days in Nir's tent, Elion-El, who was Anu, the Almighty Creator, said to Murdoch, who is also known as the Angel Michael, this is what he said from the heavenly throne, right, to Michael, go down unto the earth to Nir, the Zodok priest, and take my child, Melchizedek, who is with him, and place him in the paradise of Eden for preservation. So my question is Michael, the angel, and Melchizedek the same personage? And the answer is no. Let's read it again. When the child had been 40 days in Nir's tent, Elionel, who was Anu, the Almighty Creator, said to Murdoch, who was also known as the Angel Michael, go down into the earth to Nir, the Zodok priest, and take my child Melchizedek, who is with him, and place him in the paradise of Eden for preservation. So he's sending Michael down to take Melchizedek, right? For the time is approaching, and I will pour out all the water unto the earth, and everything that is on the earth will perish. So evidently, Melchizedek is the physical vessel. Murdoch carried, and he came down when it was shadow hour. And Near was sleeping on his bed. And Murdoch appeared to him and said to him, Thus says Elion, Elion, El, who is Anu, the Almighty Creator. Near, send the child to me, whom I entrusted to you. Near did not realize who was speaking to him, and his heart was confused. Near said, When the people find out about the child, they will seize him and kill him, because of the heart of these people is deceitful in front of the face of Elion, Elion, El, who is Anu, the Almighty Creator. Near said to the one who was speaking, The child is not with me. I don't know who you are. And Murdoch, he who was speaking to Near, answered, Don't be frightened, Near. I am one of the Elohim. I shall seat myself firmly in the heart of this child. So Michael's going to seat himself firmly in the heart of Melchizedek. Listen, I shall seat myself firmly in the heart of this child. And Anu has sent me, or Elion, Elion has sent Michael to Melchizedek. And behold, I shall take the child today. I will go with him, and I will place him in the paradise, Eden, and there he will be forever. Now, when the 12th generation shall come into being, succeeding the 12 imams, there he will be born in that generation, a righteous man, who will be titled El Mahdi. That's Ahmed, right? The guide. And in 1870, which in other words, that same ruah or soul came from Muhammad, then 19 imams later into the Mahdi Ahmed, and that spirit is also back in the world again, right? Reciting to you the purified pages of the Holy Tablets. And in 1870, he will establish the community of the Ansar at Aba Island. Muhammad Ahmed Ibn Abdullah was born in the year 1845 A.D. In the year 1885 A.D., he died. No, he didn't. He departed. He departed from this physical world in the Sudan. Right? Elion, Elion, El, who was Anu, the Almighty Creator, will tell him that he should go out to that mountain where stands the Ark of Utnapishtim, your brother. That is in the land called Turkey today. He will find there another Melchizedek who has been staying away from those people who sacrificed the idols in the name of oneness so that they may not kill him. He will bring him out, and he will be the first priest and king in the city, Salem, in the style of this Melchizedek, the originator of the priest, and they shall call him Al-Kedar.
You'll recall Moses and Abraham, born thousands of years apart, standing side by side in plain sight of the disciples on a hill, remember?
The years will be completed up to that time, 3,432 from the beginning and creation of the albino Adam, Labana, also called Canaan. There Adam was born in the fourth moon cycle in the 18,000th year, that is three sets of 6,000. From that Melchizedek, the priests will be 12 in number, until the great one, that is to say the leader, will bring out everything visible and invisible.
Here's an example of a leader.
I want you all to go to chapter 11 of the tablets, tablet 30. Chapter 11, tablet 30, is going to be the glorification of Michael. We're going to find out something. But hold the place you're in right now. Put your marker in it, because we're coming back. But go to chapter 11, tablet 30. Mention was made about a leader revealing all things, right?
One leader is mentioned here.
Chapter 11, tablet 30, the glorification of Michael. Lo, O captain, cursed be him, Halal. In the very hour, the Anunnaki returned to the throne. Returned. But when this hour of creation had ended, the Anunnaki ascended the throne, and the arch-Anunnaki went and stood beside him in a crescent in front of the throne. Seven in number, Murdoch, son of Akin, Dabkin, and Usku, son of Rassel, and Zamiah, Raphael, son of Wakwipiel, and Pikwael, Israel, son of Anu, and Id, Uziel, Uriel, son of Azariel, and Rafikiel, and Zamarel, the seven Anunnaki. Murdoch sat at the feet of Elion, Elion, El, and the splendor of his glory fell upon him. Perfection and purity, wisdom and love, the like of which only Elion, Elion, El has. Elion, Elion, El said, In thy name, O Michael, do I now find the session of the kingdom Malachut, shall it be, the realm between me and Cadman, as long as male and female living beings, that's Malachut, as long as male and female living beings shall bring forth heirs unto me, this kingdom shall not cease to glorify thee. Listen to number 10. Let the leader, Ahmed, son of Abdul, approach the throne. Then the end is near. Again, verse 10. Let the leader, Ahmed, son of Abdul, approach the throne. Then the end is near. So about Akbit and the end now. Now go back to chapter 6. Now we're back at chapter 6 of the Holy Tablets. Tablet 4, verse 192. The years will be completed up to that time, 3,432 from the beginning and creation of the albino Adam, Levana, also called Canaan. There Adam was born in the fourth moon cycle in the 18,000th year, that is three sets of 6,000. From that Melchizedek, the priest will be 12 in number until the great one, that is to say the leader, will bring out everything visible and invisible. Near overstood the first dream and believed it. Having answered Michael, he said, Blessed be Elion, who is Anu, the Almighty Creator, who has glorified you today for me. Now bless your servant Near, for you are coming close to departure from this world, and take the child and do to him just as Anu said to you. Murdoch took the child, Michael took Melchizedek, right, on the same shadow hour on which he had come down, and he took him on his wings, which is a craft, and he placed him in the paradise of Ilium on the planet Riz. Near got up in the daylight hours. He went into his tent, and he did not find the child. Near was greatly grieved because he had no other son except this one. Thus Near ended his life. After him, there was no priest amongst the people. From that time, great confusion arose on the earth, and Elion, who was Anu, the Almighty Creator, called with Nephistim unto the Mount Ararat, between Assyria and Armenia, and the land of Arabia beside the ocean. He said to him, Make there an ark with 300 lakhets in length and in width 50 lakhets and in height of 30, and two stories in the middle, and let its door be of one lakhet. Also of their lakhets there should be 300, but ours also 15,000, and so of theirs 50, but of ours 900, and of their 30 lakhet, but of our 50. In agreement with this numeral, the Israelites kept measurements to this day of what Nephistim's ark, just as Anu said to him. And they carried all their measurements in the same way and all their regulations even up to the present. Elion, who was Anu, the Almighty Creator, opened the doors of heavens. Rain came into the earth for 150 days, and the earth also did burst asunder, spitting forth much water, and all flesh died. And Nephistim was 600 years old during this flood. He was the father of Shem, Ham and Japheth by Naamah, and also before them, Rhea, who was born to Wahlah. Now it's important that you understand, listen to verse 2:14 forward, and you hear about the return through your timeline, because we're opening up the third eye tonight, and it'll never close again. 2:14, after the deluge, Melchizedek came to earth again, and he headed the priesthood to initiate Abraham into the ancient mystic order of Melchizedek, and he died. No, he departed, like Achmed, he departed.
Verse 188.
And then again he returned for the initiations of Moses and his brother Aaron. These are thousands of years apart each time. Then again for Joshua. Then again for Achmed. That's Muhammad that wrote the Quran, right? Then again, hundreds of years later, for Al-Mahdi. That's also Achmed, but that's not the one who wrote the Quran. That's the one who wrote the Retib, right? 2:16, then again for Joshua, then again for Achmed, that's Achmed Muhammad with the Quran, then again for Al-Mahdi, that was Achmed again, but that was with the Ratib. Finally, in the last day, he, Melchizedek, shall incarnate to seal up the lies and reveal all the facts. That's happening right now.
Right.
All right, now look, I'm going to go on to the next, y'all ready for the next revelation, right?
Yeah.
All right. Those of you all that have the NGO written by the master teacher, we're going to go to page 304, and I'm going to give you some idea about these beings that travel with Malachi as Bennett. The NGO, page 304. This is from out of the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 13. The stars were the 29 comets sighted, signaling the opening of the seventh seal at 1970 AD, especially Bennett on March 16, 1970 AD, and Halley's Comet, last seen in 1986 AD, and this is how astronomers logged it. The year 1970 was a record year. There were 29 comets observed. There were 5 new near-parabolic and 2 near-periodic comets, 11 recoveries of periodic comets, 2 comets from 1968 and 1969. All of these comets were naked eye objects. 1970 will be remembered for a spectacular optic comet called Bennett, 1970. Since the sighting of these comets, there had been a steady decline in world conditions. Now let's go to the tafsir of the small print at the bottom of the page. This is where the revelation is. The true story of Bennett. We arrived in 1970 AD. They knew little of our natures, and out of their ignorance, called us comets. We shone brightly against the inky blackness of the heavens. Remember, Ben means son in Hebrew, but Bennett means plural, or the children, right? Plural, Bennett. Leaving long, luminous tails, scores of light years behind us. Remember those long, luminous tails of light years behind us? When the comet travels across the sky, leaves a luminous, luminous trail. My light shone the brightest, so they called me Bennett, the bright star. I followed my orbit, which curved in a parabola around the sun, to a distance within their range of vision. They charted our passing March 16, 1970 AD, as one of the most spectacular stellar events that they had ever witnessed. There were 29 of us all together that year of the opening. It was 29 of them all together. 29 of us. 1970 AD, we had been dispatched into the universe to clean up the filth incurred by men. 5 of us were new and had been assigned to masters as guides. 11 of our team had been to Earth at a prior date as a pre-visual to me. There were 2 others who had made the journey 2 years before in 1968 AD, and another 8 who had come in 1969 AD. And then there was one more. Of the 29 of us, only 4 were destined to be seen by the eyes of men. And I'll know who they are, but Malachi is definitely one. The rest would pass unnoticed, carrying out the command, doing a very necessary job. All right. Chapter 7 of the Holy Tablets, Tablet 1. We're going to go to verse 160. Chapter 7 of the Holy Tablets. The plane of divine truth is of spiritual perfection and attainment, a plane exempt from all carnal desires, supreme spiritual bliss. It is the level of consciousness, which is of the daily expression of those you call the ranks of angelic beings, Kohen, Zodic priests, the 23 elders, Akathriel, Anathiel, Azabuga, Beriuel, Kemuel, Keiel, Galgaliel, Haniel, Uphiel, Yehuel, Madarin, Raguel, Quadison, Radiariel, Razuel, Rikpiel, Behei, Shamuel, Yam,